Hi, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and today I'm talking about how to pray with children or teaching children how to pray. This can be extremely rewarding, especially if it's your own children. And if you work with other children, either in Sunday school or Awana or different programs like that, you will see children desiring to pray. So how do you teach children how to pray? Well, when they're really, really young, like toddlers, you can say a prayer, little bits of it, and then they can repeat it after you. And I do real things. So I'm going to show you how I've taught my own children how to pray so that you can teach your children how to pray. And this could be all ages, but really, older children and upward, or teenagers and upward, you can do it as an adult, actually, in teaching them how to pray. Now, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So praying isn't one of those things that we don't necessarily know how to do naturally. I mean, Jesus gave a model prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer, which has several things in it. In the same way, you can show your kids how to pray for real. I like doing real prayer requests that the child themselves are struggling with. For example, one of my sons stutters, and he struggles with anger and different things like that. So I would say to him, God, please help me to not stutter anymore. Please help me not to be angry with my sister when she wants my toy or whatever, and have them pray real things that they're struggling with, that God can transform them in that way, for sanctifying issues, meaning causing that child to draw closer to Christ in areas of weakness. And then when I've listened to my children praying, see, I pray with them every evening before they go to bed. I sit quietly in their dark room and they pray. They each take a turn praying, and then I leave or whatever. We also pray other times of the day. There's other times that I've done a prayer time for like a Bible class type of thing, where I had a prayer journal that was photos. I took photos and I had the prayer requests of the people under it. This was back when we were supporting a short-term missionaries that were going to Africa, and the kids had given up some of their toys so that we could, because we had no money whatsoever, and my husband and I wanted to give at least $100 to this missionary couple who are a part of our small group Bible study, and they love the Lord with all their hearts, and they wanted to be missionaries, and they were going to go on this short-term mission to Africa to see if Africa was the right fit for them. And so for sure we wanted to give them money. Well, we had no money whatsoever, nothing. And it was not possible for us to give him money. So we prayed that God would enable us to have $100 to give them. And so the kids gave up toys that they wanted to keep still. And they gave up all this stuff. And we made exactly $100. And it was so incredible, because the kids then prayed for their missionaries, because they felt like they owned those missionaries, are ours. They're our missionaries, because we suffered to give them this money. And so we prayed every day for these missionaries to lead people to Christ and everything. And it was so sweet. So they had a heart for missions. My kids had a heart for missions at a very young age, because we did that and because we had no money. See, if we had money, we would not have gone to the children to ask them to get rid of some of their toys, because we would have just written a check and it would have been done. My husband and I support many missionaries, individual families, and I pray for specific missionaries by name, as well as a lot of people in their congregations by name, every day, because I have a huge heart for missions. Well, thankfully, you know, praise God. When you don't have money, praise God, because blessed are the poor. It's, you know, because, anyway, that's a whole nother topic, is God and prayer and provision, how God can provide through prayer, like George Mueller, or my own life, so many instances. I mean, there are hundreds of instances where God has provided specific things that I've prayed for when I needed them, not a moment before, but the very moment I needed them. I asked the Lord and he granted it to me, but I would not have asked if I had had all the money I needed. So anyways, but kids have faith like that. Jesus says that we are to become like children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's found in Matthew 18, 1 through 6. Jesus was talking about humility, because kids naturally have humility. I'm talking about ones that haven't been corrupted by, you know, people that have hardened them off, where they become prideful and things like that. But most children in general, they have a humility about them and a wide-eyed wonder. And that is pleasing to the Lord. That's the way that we are to approach God, with wide-eyed wonder at his majesty, and adore him in a fresh way. And this is actually what I encounter with my kids when I'm praying with them in their bedroom at night. My kids just magnify and glorify the Lord in ways that, if I did it, it would sound trite, because I've memorized so much scripture, so many psalms and things, that my way of praising God and adoring him is through praise music. Then my heart soars towards the Lord in praise and adoration. But it's difficult for me, unless it's spontaneous, it's difficult for me to just, I don't know, you know, the way that my kids adore the Lord is so fresh and sweet. There was one time, I don't know if I wrote it down here someplace. Anyways, oh yes, one of my sons said to God one time, "It must have been great when you created the universe from nothing. You are so incredibly powerful. Just everything, the sunsets, the trees, the mountains, you invented all that." Okay, and then he went on and on and on, but those are some of the images that I remember from his prayer. It was so incredible. He went on and on about creation and how incredible God was. And, oh, I can't believe that you invented, you know, this, you know, like the octopus or whatever. And you're just so crazy incredible. It's just, you know, that. The Lord loves that. Okay, I learned through my children how to adore the Lord in a deeper way. Okay, so yeah, you can honor your children by listening to them and even learning from the way that they approach God, because Jesus said that we are to approach God like little children. Okay, and the parents brought their children to Jesus so that Jesus could pray over them. That's found in Matthew 19:13. Jesus wanted the children to come to him. So let's teach our children how to come to him. If you never teach your children how to pray, your kids will grow up not knowing how to pray. They'll know all about the Bible if you teach them the Bible, but if you don't teach them how to pray, they're not going to know. And actually, okay, it's vital for you to have a deep personal walk with God in the area of prayer, so that when you pray, your prayers are deep and rich and honest, and just that your kids will see that it's not phony, that it doesn't have religiosity or big fat words in it that you're trying to impress people with. No, they'll see that you're really connecting to God for real, and they'll see that and emulate it. Your kids become you. They become who you are, okay? Whether they like it or not. And I'm talking about negative qualities as well as positive qualities. So if your walk with God is real and genuine, let it come out in your prayers. Pray in front of them. Pray in front of them. And if you're praying over your meal, don't just say, you know, thank you, God, for this food, which, I mean, that's fine. You could do that once in a while. I'm thankful for the food, but pray a real, you could say one sentence or two sentences that are real. Lord, thank you for sparing my life when I almost crashed today on the way home. You're my God of protection. Thank you so much, Lord. Or, you know, thank you for the raise that we got this year and that we are able to pay our bills. I thank you and praise you and magnify your name for that. Or, you know, whatever is happening that day. Or just confess sin. I've done that before. Yep, at the dinner table. I'll just say, you know, Lord, please help me to overcome my sin of anger, as well as all of us, Lord. Help us to put each other first. Help us to be humble. Change us, Lord. And thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. And, I mean, that touches their hearts. It's real. I mean, be real about your own sin and want God to change you also. But then they see that that's how you pray, and then they'll pray that way. Okay? I see my kids praying that way all the time, and that they're not afraid to confess sin openly. Isn't that crazy? I taught them that, and you can too. So you make your prayer life real and rich and deep and fabulous, and then they will see that if you pray in front of them. So, you know, pray with them either before bedtime. That's a good time, especially if you're not homeschooling. If you send your kids off to school, the only time you really have with them is the evening. So I would say either for dinner when you're praying, or, you know, at night before bed. And do it while they're still young. Do it immediately. Even if you're not, yeah, definitely do it immediately. Okay, don't wait. Okay, so, what are some ways that I have led my children to the Lord over the years? How do you get them into a relationship with God? Now, we have not rushed it. We use the book The Lamb by John Cross, I think his last name is. Anyways, to lead our children to Christ, there are 10 different lessons, and it really shows, it's just beautiful pictures and stuff. And it shows how Christ is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And it explains it in a very clear way. But we've also led them to Christ, you know, after having done that, we realized that, okay, for specific kids, like our firstborn son, we did that with him when he was 5. And then my husband said, I don't think he understands his sin. Like that he's a sinner, and so I don't think he completely understands the gospel because of that. And so we waited a whole nother year. Well, I said to my husband, you know, you don't block someone from coming to Christ. I mean, you can come with what you know. I mean, okay, I was saved when I was 4, and I believe it that I was saved when I was 4. Now, I've gone through different growth spurts in my life. Something significant happened at age 15. But before age 15, I remember my whole life, I remember I wanted to obey God. With all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I wanted to obey God. Always. So I was saved when I was 4. Because otherwise, why would I want to obey God with all my heart? And when I was 4, I just found out that I needed to say a prayer because I knew that Jesus had died for my sin. And that I was a sinner, and that Christ died for me, you know, and so, and that I wanted him to be Lord of my life, okay? I wanted him to come into my life and rule my life, and that's all you need to know. So, really, you can be saved at any age. I mean, talk about Moses. Usually in Old Testament times, people were weaned either 2 or 3 years old. But just imagine Moses, he was taken by the princess in Egypt, and he learned to love the Lord within the first 2 or 3 years of his life. That means as a toddler, he had to come to know the Lord, because as soon as he was weaned, his mother never saw him again, because his mother was hired to give milk to the baby that was found in the river. Okay. So what I'm saying is very young kids can know and love the Lord with all their hearts. This is also borne out in Timothy's life. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, through the grandmother Lois and the grandmother and the mother of Timothy taught him from infancy. It says the word infancy. So the mother and the grandmother of Timothy taught him from infancy to love the scriptures. Okay. So we're talking about prayer in this particular audio, but you do teach your children to love scripture as well. But teach them how to connect to God in prayer. It will help them the whole rest of their lives. I'm serious. And it does matter. Okay. So what do we do to lead our kids to Christ? So, okay. One of the things, what my oldest son, before we actually prayed the prayer with him at age 6, what happened was I already saw God transforming his life. It was weird. It's like, you know, when you're called, then you're justified, and then you're glorified. Basically, once you've been chosen, then you're on a path towards God, okay? So God has chosen you before the foundation of the earth. If you're saved, then God has chosen you, definitely, before the foundation of the earth. And you're on that path towards sanctification to be more and more holy. But anyway, my son, when he was really, really little, he asked me, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? And I looked at him and I was like, he kind of stumped me. But I said, okay, I'm going to play this song and I'm going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and just watch me. Okay. So I praised God with all of my heart in spirit and in truth. And you know what happened? My son understood. And then the next song, he started singing and his whole face looked like the face of an angel. He had learned to worship God in spirit and in truth. I didn't even know you could teach that. And he was so little. He was like 3 or 4 years old or something. He was so tiny. And his face looked like the face of an angel as he was praising God, because he learned that from me. Because he asked, Mom, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? And I did not have any words. So I said, hey, watch my face and I'll show you. And he learned it, and he did it at a super young age. So what I'm saying is, don't discount. These are human beings with a soul. Just because they're short and stubby doesn't mean that they're not souls who can have communion with the Lord. Okay. So my oldest son, I mean, we led him to Christ, and I have seen so much spiritual growth in his life over the years. He's my philosophical son. He's asked all kinds of things. Like, you know, he moves his arm and he says, Mom, did God just move my arm, or did I move my arm? You know, talking about, you know, predestination versus free will and those kinds of conversations I had with my son at ages like 4, 5, and 6. That's my oldest son. So we led him to Christ at age 6. My second son, we had done the Lamb with him, and we just didn't feel that he was ready or that he understood the gospel properly. we're not going to just jump through the hoops of having him pray a prayer and give him false assurance that he's saved when he's not. Okay? So that is a ghastly thing that I don't want to do that. On the other hand, you don't want to block your kid from coming to Christ when they want to come to Christ. If they want to come to Christ, you let them come to Christ. Let the little children come to me. So there's both that you hold in tension. You ask the Lord for wisdom to know. Well, my second son, he threw something across the room one day and crashed an insect collection that we had. And so he saw the effects of his anger. And I said, you realize that, okay. Well, I said, he says, I can't help it. I can't help but be angry. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Without Jesus in your life, you're right. You can't help it. You will always do what is wrong until Christ lives in you. And he said to me, I need Jesus. He said, I need Jesus. And I was like, oh my goodness. And my husband was coming home from work a couple hours later, and he came in the driveway, and I said, today is the day of his salvation. And I explained what happened, and we led him to Christ. And it was beautiful because he could see his sin and he knew he needed a savior. See? He was six also. In fact, all my kids were six. I don't know. That's not a magic number. I was four, okay? I know a lot of people. My husband was 10, okay? It's not a sin to come to Christ at age 10. It's okay. Any age, you can come to Christ. anyways, my third son, he was so easy, okay? I hardly put any work into him because he was such an easy kid. He was always compliant. He always obeyed. He complained a little bit, but he was always obedient. And so he, whenever he was disciplined for something, he felt that he had been wronged, you see. So he would justify himself. He was the, it's hard for the righteous to be saved. And so because he couldn't see that he was a sinner, after we had read the gospel story to him, my husband and I, we looked at each other and we're like, out of his presence, not with him there, but we said he's not ready to be saved because he doesn't see his sin. He feels that he's justified his whatever he does, that he's never wrong. Okay, so that was my third son. And so I prayed, God, give me a road into his heart for the gospel. I asked for an opportunity. And sure enough, one day there was this big poster in the kid's bedroom that was outer space. It was black. And he accidentally tore it because he was upset and justifying himself about something else. Well, when he saw this huge thing torn and it looked so ugly, I looked at it and I knew that was the portal to his soul. And I said, look, I pointed to it and I said, that's your heart without Jesus. And he looked at it and he wept and he said, I want Jesus to come into my life and to change me. See? Because he couldn't see his sin until there was a picture. But you ask God, give me a way to reach my son. You ask God and you wait. I waited for months in this heaviness in my heart. And it could be that you have a teenager who is strayed from the Lord and your heart is breaking. I don't know. I don't know what stage you are in life. I don't know. But no one is past salvation. While they're still alive, there is hope, and you have hope, and you pray that God will give you a road to their soul that they might be saved. So that's my third son. And then my daughter, she one time, well, we went through the the Lamb book with her as well. And it's meant for younger kids, like I would say 10 and under. So if they're older than that, I don't, it's a picture book. So anyway, I told my daughter, you know, we told her the gospel and everything. Well, she, I don't know, there just didn't seem something was off, and we couldn't put our finger on it, but it wasn't the right timing. So we didn't just go through the motions of leading her to Christ. And we waited, and I asked God for a way to reach her as well. And one time we saw a beaded doorway, you know, like from the 70s or the 60s, that you put over the doorway, and then you go through the beads. There's strings of beads. Anyway, I found one of those at a yard sale for $3. So we put it up, and it was really fun to swish through it, you know, from the dining room to the kitchen, and it was fun. And one day, my daughter grabbed her scissors, and she snipped two little strands, and all the beads came off, and it looked really ugly. And actually, you know what she did? Her conscience was eating her up. She came to me and confessed it before I even knew about it. She ran into my room and said, "Mommy, I'm so sorry." And I looked at her and I said, "Sweetheart, what did you do?" She says, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry." And I said, sweetheart, show me what you did. Because, I mean, I had no idea. She was so troubled in her heart. And she showed me. And she went into the kitchen. She pointed at it. And she was so sorry. And so at that point, she could recognize her sin. So I think, I don't know, in most of these instances, it was the sin that was the issue. Except for my oldest son, I don't know. With my oldest son, it was different. He's always been different than the others in the way that he approaches God in a really philosophical way and stuff. So I don't know necessarily that each of your kids, well, yes, they do have to acknowledge that they are a sinner and to see inside of them that they do what's wrong. If they can't see that, then you're doing them a disservice to walk them through the prayer, because they're not going to be saved if they don't know that they're really do the wrong thing. You know, they do the wrong thing, and they need to know it. Okay, so that is how we reached each of our children for Christ and his kingdom. And right now they're all walking with Christ. And my oldest is 13 as I'm recording this. And, you know, I'm scared because I've seen lots of people who are godly, whose teenagers have rebelled. And so I am not beyond that. No one is beyond that. Everyone has their own walk with God. So hopefully they will love and serve the Lord all their days. But lots of times people who have taught my kids have said, "Wow, your kids are just deep theologians." And they're just floored by how much knowledge of Scripture they have and their deep walk with God and the fresh, honest way that they pray. But you can do this too. You can do this too. Teach your children to pray. Connect them to God. Have a personal walk that is real so that they want to follow the Lord that you follow. So, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and I hope you enjoyed this audio on teaching children how to pray.